Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
This is the Hip Hop Saved My Life podcast. Thank you for listening to the podcast. Hope you enjoy the podcast. Now sit back, because it's time for the podcast.
Welcome to Hip Hop Saved My Life. You are joining us in a sort of a weird situation here. We're joined as always by Rupert.
Hello.
We have got KSI and Craig David.
Finally.
I was about to say in the building. KSI is in the building. Craig David is in a building. We're looking at you on our laptop now. You're at home, right?
Yeah, I'm in my studio at home. We're taking full advantage of this virtual reality situation we're in right now. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's either really inventive or sad. I can't figure out which one.
I'm swaying towards sad.
Because all we're doing is just looking at a laptop.
Yeah. This is 2020, man.
It's just like three guys have decided to check out Pornhub together.
They do live stuff.
How are you, Craig? You good?
You know what? I'm wicked, man. I'm really good, man. It's a strange time, but it's, I think you've got to kind of find ways to find connection, which right. I think is where the music has been a real help in this period of time. You know what I mean?
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, I think people are looking to it more and more, aren't they? It's good. So you two have got this song together, Really Love. How did you two end up? How did this happen?
Yeah, so obviously I made the track with no chorus. Mm. I did my two verses. And then I was like, who could I get to really like spice this up? Mm. And Emenike came through with a chorus, but it didn't make sense for him to be on it. So
right. We
were like, we sent it to Craig David. And I didn't think he was going to like it. I didn't think.
Really confident.
They were just like, yeah, like give it a credit. He might be up for it. It makes sense as a garage tune. I said, there's no way. Like, I'm a YouTuber, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
But yeah, bro, he heard it. He loved it. He loved the energy. He loved everything. And he did it. I think he did it better than Emenike.
Oh my gosh.
I did his own style. God. But obviously Emenike did bits, but Craig David like fully killed it, and he's just made it like an absolute tune. I'm in prime if you wanna get something. No Valentine, but my heart be pumping. Leather and pumping. Got plenty views if you hang around me. So many hearts if you see the IG. So many times by the people that I raced, and my record look great like Muhammad Ali. I'm trying to go, Yeah, man. Like, even the music video, we shot it in like an icy cold environment, snowy area. And Roscoe, who's the guy who directed the music video, has absolutely destroyed the music video. And it's just, I'm excited for people to hear this because, I truly feel like this song will be a number one, 100%.
100%?
100%, yeah. This is like my best song ever.
Okay.
Yeah.
100%. Yeah. Okay, Craig, JJ's saying he's 100% certain this is going to be a number one.
Do you know what? The thing is, when you put it out there, you put it out there. It's like, there's certain songs, and I'm backing it with you. And to be honest, there's no losing this, to be honest, because I think once you shoot for the top, it depends on what number one is to you. If it's a chart thing, that's one thing. Mm. But I think when people hear it, I think what I loved when JJ sent over was that it just felt like an authentic garage tune that didn't feel like it was throwback to sort of 1999. It felt fresh.
Yeah.
But it had all the influences and the parts that made garage so special back then. So when I heard it, that's why I was like, you know what? It was almost an instant thing. Usually, I get loads of garage tunes sent over and come on, let's take it back and go Artful Dodger in it. And I'm like, it's hard for me because once you have rewind and fill me in and stuff, it's hard to, you don't go there and your people always say, well, it ain't quite as good as, but this one came and I was like, man, the melody on this is crazy. The way JJ was spitting the bars and the verses,
yeah,
all the feelings of why I got into Garage. So I back it with you, man. I really hope it hits in the same way, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, in a way, a number one is like getting on Hip Hop Save My Life podcast. That's yeah, a number that's, one.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I mean, that's a thing. But Craig, do you when you get, like you said, you get sent loads of tunes and stuff, and obviously people want you to appear on their stuff. When you think about what you're going to do, obviously you said you love the tune when JJ sent it to you, but is there any part of you that's thinking about your legacy and the fact that you do have a legendary status in the scene? So do you think? Does that worry you? Does that play on your mind at all when you're deciding what you're going to do next?
Do you know what I mean? It definitely makes me raise my bar as to what kind of gets through, because I think I really have to filter off a lot of stuff that comes through, or even kind of hearing a tune and saying, you know what, I don't feel like I can bring anything to that. Like it might even be like super poptastic, a hit record, but it just might not sit right with kind of my fans who've kind of grown up with a certain style of R&B with hip hop tinges, Garage. But I definitely get back to just being playful with it. I think when you hear a record that feels good, it hits up. Any hit record I've had in my career has always been ones that you hear it, you're instantly in, you can't wait to go and fire up the microphone and get your Pro Tools session up, or if you're a Logic man, and just get in. And I felt that. That's why it was done so quickly. And I hit up JJ, I was like asking, am I hitting this right? Is this do we throw some ad-libs here? He's like, yo, can you put some on the second chorus? Can we do... It was a really nice collaboration, even though we weren't in the same building together. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. And JJ, you sort of alluded to this thing about one of your worries about sending the tune to him was... not a snobbery, but you sort of worried about how people see a YouTuber moving into music. Is that something that you're conscious of?
Yeah, I think it's definitely a thing because obviously, you know, I'm quite unconventional the way I've kind of come up through music. So I definitely feel like a lot of artists are still unsure with, you know,
the truth is, mate, people want you to be shit. I don't mean that in a horrible way, but you've achieved success in this thing. It's annoying.
Yeah,
do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
if you then show yourself to be good at something else. So there is, you must be aware of a resistance in that regard.
Of course. And I don't know, I kind of strive through that. Like, I don't know, it just makes me want to always be better and just improve all the time. And, you know, yeah, like, I always feel like, yeah, because I'm a YouTuber, people are going to think of me a certain way, but I just need to prove people wrong. And I feel like I keep doing that with the music that I put out. And, you know, I keep changing people's perception of what a YouTuber can do when it comes to music, so...
Craig, was that something that you thought about at all when you got the tune? Was JJ's sort of YouTube background, did that come into your consideration at all? Or were you just, I love this tune, I think what he's done is great, that's all that you need to think about?
Do you know what? Like, I think it's easy to kind of pigeonhole people and put people in boxes. And I think with JJ, he'd always been trying to sort of push that boundary, as he just said then, even when it came to like doing sports events, and next thing you're turning up and he's getting crazy pay-per-views on the boxing ring and
so annoying.
So it's all, but I'll be super honest with you, when it comes to music, I don't pull back in punches. If I'm not feeling it, I don't sort of because someone's got their shine on them or someone's doing well, or it bites you in the ass later on down the line, because people are like, why did you go there? But when I heard it, literally when I heard the verses, that was the key to me. I was like, man's bringing the flow, and not just any old nonsense on the lyrics. It was like, it felt authentic. So I respected it for that, but then also knew that man was smashing it anyway. So it was like, if it did work out, it would be a moment. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, if you decide to do like stand-up tours, I'll be really fucked off.
I've actually tried. Yeah. Oh man, I bombed so hard.
Did you? But everybody bombs.
No, so I did, I think it was like for a brand, I think it was like for Volvic or Boxton or something.
Yeah,
like
that's the way comedy, most people get into stand-up.
So I tried, and oh man, my jokes were just not good.
Did he write a set?
It was so I wrote down everything, and yeah, it was so bad. It's like one of the hardest things to do.
Everybody's shit when I start.
And like I guess.
And my kids think you're funny and don't think I'm funny at all. So there you go. Do you know what I mean? It's like, Your stuff's boring. I mean, it's mostly me calling them pricks. So I understand why they might not like it.
Here's a little bit that we like to call. How did you get into hip hop?
So you guys are both hip hop fans. Craig, what's your sort of journey into hip hop, and what sort of stuff do you like?
Man, I'm really grateful to have grown up in that 90s period where, like, Biggie dropping his first album. Then you've got, Ready to Die was so huge anyway, and probably one of my favourite tunes on there, One More Chance.
Yeah.
It was the remix, actually, the Faith Evans version, that is my go-to tune.
Right.
First things first, I pop, freaks all the honeys, dummies, playboy bunnies, those wanting money. Those the ones I like, because they don't get Nathan, but penetration. Unless it smells like sanitation, garbage, I turn like doorknobs. Heart throb never, black and ugly as ever. However, I stay Gucci down to the socks. Rings and watch filled with rocks. And my jam knocking the Mitsubishi.
Which is kind of mad, because that got sent to me from Irv Gotti back in the day as a remix for 7 Days. He sent me the instrumental of One More Chance remix. And for whatever reason, I was like, I don't know what I can really do to this. I've got this in my vinyl collection over here. I mean, it's like, you haven't really sent me anything I've already got. So somehow it moved on. Then there was the DJ Premier remix that I got into. Next thing I'm hearing is, see, my days are cool without you. And I'm thinking, my God, my Shanti grew for that I'm Foolish in a different way. It was, and that was my tune. So it was like, it's funny how that era of hip hop, the whole East Coast, West Coast rivalry at that time, I mean, it was real. I mean, this was, and we saw, I mean, unfortunately, the deaths that came of it, but it was like an amazing time to grow up on that hip hop. And then you kind of have a different perspective of how things are evolving and where it's coming, stemming from, you know what I mean?
And then have you continued to be into hip hop? Have you sort of, because, you know, you can be into hip hop and be into that era of it, and you sort of think the newer stuff's not for me, or have you continued to sort of be across it?
Do you know what? I love hip hop in general. So, yeah. It's not hearing Kendrick Lamar or J. Cole or even King Los. I was like, listen to the freestyle. Man.
Yeah, it's crazy, right?
Oh, my God.
To hip-hop, I'm Socrates. I'm top five in the fifth spot to mockery. The fifth pop, you do the Macarena or get rocked like Slipknot's discography. Your click watching me, hoping I stumble. Your bitch watching me. You know it's a jungle. She like lions, not liars, nigga. I figured you'd be slow to rebuttal. She's standing there drooling and dripping. You could only be humble, just be a gentleman. And put your jacket over the puddle. You poodle, that pun was a puzzle. I just wanted
that's
a
what I live for when with hip-hop. When people can really bring it in that kind of respect. But I like the one thing I do like about that era from 90s, 2000 is that there was a deep importance in storytelling. Mm. We didn't have the technology at that point to really kind of to flex it on the production side in terms of crazy auto-tune and doing, which is a style. This was like, when you hear Biggie, that voice was Biggie. You know what I mean? You hear Tupac, it was Tupac. And I just think that I'm just grateful to have heard those people while they were still alive and what they represented, especially Tupac and what he was standing for. You know what I mean? I think now his things are really resonating deeper than anything. Some of the things he said were like, wow, you're talking about 2020 right now.
I know. It's a combination of it being impressive, but also slightly depressing that those issues, you know, that we still seem to have those same kind of issues, right?
And the fact that you'd like to have thought that a period of time we would have got past those rivalries and those battles after the East Coast, West Coast thing, which was deeply entrenched, that people could just be lyricists and we can battle now without it turning into like, someone ends up.
It can stay in the battle arena. It doesn't have to cross over into real life or whatever.
Exactly.
And what current artists are you listening to? Are there people that, you said Kendrick, who else are you into now?
Well, I mean, to be honest, it's really when I flip back to the UK. I mean, when you listen to what, say, Chipmunk's come back recently, I mean, it's kind of, which is on the tip of everyone's tongue, what's going on, and you're hearing Stormzy doing his thing. When you're hearing people are coming with those kind of ones again, you sort of say, well, this guy had to go almost underground for a while, find himself again, because I think there was that whole period of time where the Champion record, Chris Brown, was huge, and then everyone saw the spotlight was there. And then I'm looking on people that have kind of been in the game who are coming through second wave and saying, listen, when it comes to lyrics, we're going in. And you're seeing someone like Stormzy who's kind of pushing the whole boundaries and taking it to headline in Glastonbury. So the UK is really vibrant right now, which I think is important.
I know where you live too, but that is not the point of this. Pull out, catch me lacking, plan fail, there's no avoiding this. Don't know what you heard about Essex, but it's calm, dog. And they ain't used to black people screaming down the car park. So let me ask you this, Mr. Roadman, because you don't get the
program, it seems like you wanna lose it all. If my niggas pull up at your gate screaming, shouting down the place, who the fuck you think your neighbor's gonna call?
I mean, you were talking about JJ, about the fact that like overcoming the stigma, not stigma, but you know, the sort of the preconceptions about you being a YouTuber. Chip has that as his own cross to bear in that regard, in terms of obviously because he had those sort of crossover tunes and stuff back in the day, the idea of him being a proper spitter is something that he's, you know, I think people have more recently gone, oh fucking hell, he actually can properly like rap, right?
Yeah, I think even from when he was having rap battles with Bugsy Malone, like when they're back and forth, a lot of people were like, oh snap, I didn't know Chip could go in like that.
Exactly.
So it was quite wild, and I think he's definitely improved tremendously over the years, and he keeps improving, man. Like, you know, it's just, it's crazy to see. I don't know if Storms is ever going to reply. If I was Storms, I probably wouldn't.
Why not?
I think it, for him, I feel like Stormzy feels like he's bigger than that.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's probably just like, he probably thinks, if I respond to this, I'm going down to his level.
Right.
And then that's going to give it more light, more shine. And it's also going to let everyone know that, you know, what he did, you know, going up to Chip's place and then just trying to, you know, I guess run up on him in his own house, blah, blah, blah. So, yeah, I think he's just going to be a bit more smarter with what he does. And I guess maybe do a few disses here and there, because he doesn't need to respond. He storms you, man. He's huge. He's the biggest rapper in the game in the UK, man. So, he, you know, yeah, he can do whatever he wants, really.
Why do you think he responded to Wiley then? Because Wiley's the original.
Kept going. Easy Prey.
Yeah.
I think because he's Easy Prey. No, Wiley's wild, man.
Yeah.
Like, you know, Wiley just, he just keeps going on, and, you know, he just doesn't care. And I feel like he knew Wiley wouldn't be able to come back as hard. Whereas with Chip, he knows, you know, that's a dangerous person to go against. So I think he's going to be a lot more smarter with how he attacks.
Would you enter into that?
No. Well, I mean, I've had my beef before.
Yeah.
But, you know, you have to pick your battles. You have to be smart with it.
Yeah, but you've got a number of disciplines. You can go lyrically or you can go into boxing. You know, you've got...
Well, the thing is, I can always just, you know, like, if someone disses me, I can always make YouTube videos and start, you know, clowning them through that.
Yeah.
And then, you know, obviously I can go through the music route and try and bar for bar for them. And also I can just call them out and be like, at the end of the music, at the end of me doing a diss track, I'll be like, and at the end of this, we could just fight anyway. So let's go. And no one's gonna, no one's gonna want to fight me, because, you know, I've had like three plus years of training.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like they know they'll probably lose. So
we had Eddie Hearn on this podcast.
Yeah.
A couple of weeks ago. Yeah. He's singing your praises.
He was. Oh, actually. Wow. Yeah. He's very nice about you.
That's it. Appreciate it.
So Craig, what are you up to at the moment? You've had a bit of a renaissance, haven't you? I mean, like, you're like living a life now, right? You seem to be like doing all sorts of shit. I don't mean that in a criminal way.
Do you know what? It's been a crazy 20 years so far, you know? It's like came out of the blocks kind of with everything that changed my life. And then it's a roller coaster ride. I really feel like in terms of having a career, you've got to be able to ride those lows where maybe you're not the hottest thing, the eyes are on someone else. And it's like, how do you go on about day-to-day business in that period of time? So you keep writing the songs, Because I've always believed like you're always 3 minutes away from changing your life as a songwriter. You can always write your way out of anything. And then I think come 2016, where went on to Mr. Jam show when he was on One Extra, did the little film in over Where Are You Now, the Skrillex tune. It had a moment where it just connected, and it felt like that whole Corrupt FM, almost they were parodying the garage scene. But when I saw them at festivals, they actually were like, we're living this.
Yeah,
this
they put on a show. Like,
I mean, and I could see them flip when I walked through the door, where it was like, almost felt we're playing our show we've got to. Actually, we need to spit bars now.
Yeah.
The love that was in the building was crazy.
Saying, fill me in. Why will you keep me down? Why will you keep me down? Yeah. Fill me in. Why were you creeping around? Why were you? You know what? Yo,
Something like, spit a 16, a sick 16. I've been doing this since I was 16. Been a few years, let's call it 16. A brand new flow, 2016. Seen, first up, I'm living a dream. 1999, when I first came on the scene. Skinny young breath from out of Saddam team. With a bunch of melodies for days, know what I mean. Lean and mean, embodied the whole scene. Packing on muscle like bars of protein. Crushing every microphone that I be holding. Cause you know I've been training dirty, but don't go keeping it clean.
Fast forward to sort of where we are now. I think being able to reinvent yourself, but without it being inauthentic. So doing a garage tune with JJ, for me, is authentic and it's very fresh. There's a whole fan base that won't know who I am.
Yeah.
Like JJ's, that'd be like, wow, okay, who's this guy? They might not have heard of one tune from back in the day. And I think a lot of my fans would be like, wow, KSI, this is sick. So I think there's a really nice like bridge that's happening, but also to remember, to be present. Don't tell the stories from back in the day, because the kids do not care.
You've tried.
Yeah, I sold X amount of million records and I'm on this tour and blah, blah, blah. And they're like, bro, we do not care. We want to know what you're doing now. And once you respect that, you're always going to be in the mix. But yeah. I see a lot of artists who've been there for a long time who kind of stuck in a period. And that's fine, because then you become heritage. And that's cool. But I know like a tune like I'm doing with JJ,
yeah,
it's like fresh. And then if it wasn't with Bastille on a couple of years back with I Know You, or if it wasn't with Blonde when they're on the come up, with Sigala, or if it was, you know what I mean? So you're always in the mix with people, you know what I mean?
Yeah. And then is it slightly, if I ask you a question like, you know, when I said, oh, you're undergoing a renaissance, is that a slightly annoying question because you've still been working this whole time? And so it just so happens that the focus has come back to you, but you've still been doing what you've been doing the whole time, right?
Nah, do you know what? Again, it's the ego wants to be like, oh, let me tell my story. I was working underneath on the underground. Nobody cares about what you're doing. If you can take that as the best bit of advice, yeah, that yeah. Nobody really cares what you're doing behind the scenes. It's like anyone who's trying to break through. They don't know you may have been doing 10 years working hard before you actually hit it with that first, that tune.
Yeah.
So my thing is that renaissance, a moment when you're back, as long as you really are an opportunist and you take it, and grasp onto that, you're good to go. So I'm just loving life, man. I'm happy that, in all respect, that JJ would reach for me, yeah. But not from a, oh, I need to go. I know he wouldn't go old school.
Yeah,
that's the thing. It wouldn't help his career to be like, oh, let me pull out someone from way back in the day. It's like, okay, well, and I don't want to speak for you, Jay, because you can.
No, it's cool. It's cool. Yeah.
But it seems like he's doing his thing. He's got his Ibiza Rocks TS5 stuff that he's doing on a regular. He's playing all these festivals with new tunes. He's got this whole younger fan base that are into him. I can draw for him without feeling like, oh man, we pulled out, you know what I mean, some old school crew. So I'm really glad, man, because that makes me feel like, yeah, we can flex this, man.
Did you know it was a moment when you did that, when you went on Jam Show? Could you feel at that point that it felt like something was going to change things?
Someone was special, man, in terms of like the energy I walked in, and talk about the stars aligning and the universe really was like, okay, the apex of meeting Big Nasty. Then we had When the Bassline Drops, which was like one of my top 10s that I hadn't had for a while. Mm. Next thing I was doing, a sold out arena tour off the back. There was this, we're kind of where's he been thing,
yeah.
But also it wasn't a where's he been and he's sort of only got the old school stuff. It was like that Where Are You Now Feel Me mashup. To have not gone with something new, I think people would have been like, okay, well, just do Born to Do It album, we're good with that.
Yeah, yeah.
I think it was, and I felt it in there, man. It was something. And when you feel it, it's a wave that you get on. It was the same feeling I had when I first started off.
Yeah.
So I feel like this time is JJ's wave. Like in a,
no pressure.
No pressure. No,
yeah. How do you feel about
it? No, but on the real though, God. Just the way you're handling business, it's like you can't stop something that's flowing. You can only kind of get in the way and sort of shave yourself a little bit. But as long as you keep it together, you'll be cool. You know what I mean?
Yeah. JJ, how do you feel about that? Wave riding?
well, obviously there's a lot of pressure, but all my life, like I've just taken opportunities. Like a lot of people go, oh, how can you do this and do this and do this? And it's literally just me, you know, working hard in the background and then just taking opportunities when they come. Like, you know, I've been lucky, but I've made my own luck, if that makes sense. And, you know, I've just made sure I take advantage and then I carry on. And, you know, I've got to a point where I'm doing well in music. And I know a lot of people, when they get to this point, they go, I've done it. I've made it. I can relax. But I'm just there like, no, let's go. Let's go. Let's keep going. So, you know, this song is on the song with me and Craig David is on my next album. And like, I've already made like 12, 13 songs for the next album. And, you know, I want to release it next year. And like, I want to be a person that can release an album every single year. I just want to be consistent and constantly like be in people's faces, because I feel like we live in a generation where you have to always be current. You know, you have to essentially do a Drake and, you know, just always just be there.
Yeah.
And, but, you know, it doesn't mean you just put out trash. You have to make sure that it's quality content. And you always have to make it fresh and new and find new ways to reinvent yourself. And I've done that with YouTube for years. So I'm kind of just adapting that to my music as well.
Are you completely detached from the outcomes? Like, for example, you say that you want to be putting out an album every year.
Yes.
Is that regardless of how those albums... Is it, you know, if those albums didn't do well, which I'm sure they won't, but I'm just saying, you know, as a for instance.
Yeah.
If they didn't, would that bother you? Or would you just go, no, I want to do music and I'm going to keep plugging away until this takes off?
Yeah, I'll just keep going. Like with Dissimulation, you know, I got number two album in the country. And I was like, cool, all right, let's go. Let's go for that number one. If I get number one, I'll be like, cool, time to get another number one. Like, that's just my mindset. And, you know, eventually I want to be able to, you know, headline a festival or, you know. I mean, obviously it's crazy. Like, I know a lot of people will listen to this, be like, there's no way. But, like, you know, if someone told me I was going to be doing a song with Craig David, I would have laughed in your face. And I'm sure many people laughed in my face. So, you know, you never know this world. So it's kind of like you just have to keep working and opportunities will rise. And then eventually when it's there, take full advantage and go ham.
Jesus Christ. I'm feel fucking inspired. Yeah. I want to write a fucking new tour show right now, man.
You can listen to this back.
Yeah, it's going to be like a mantra. You know how you put on like these like motivational speakers? You can do it. You just keep going, man. You were number two last time. You're going to be number one next time.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Obviously, like Craig was talking about, like Biggie and Tupac, and obviously that's a different, you know, we're coming from a different generation. What was your route into hip-hop?
LimeWire.
So, yeah. LimeWire can spit.
Yeah. No, so like obviously
very underground.
Through the internet. Once I got my computer and the internet, and instantly, you know, figured out this thing called LimeWire and downloaded a lot of music. Mm. So I listened to a lot of American hip hop.
Right.
So I listened to like 50 Cent, Lil Wayne, Drake, J. Cole, all of that lot. And, you know, I was just obsessed. Like, I remember one of the first tracks I listened to was A Millie by Lil Wayne.
Yeah, such a good
gassed me up, bro. I was like, what is this? I've never heard music like this.
Yeah.
Criteria compared to your career just isn't fair. I'm a venereal disease, like a menstrual bleed through the pencil and leak on the sheet of the tablet in my mind, cause I don't write shit, cause I ain't got time. Cut my second minutes, hours go to the almighty dollar in the O. Mighty power of that chopper, sister, brother, son, daughter, father, motherfucker, copper, got the Maserati dancing on the bridge, pussy popping, tell the coppers.
And like, I saw the music video, it's insane. And it's crazy now, like, you know, I guess during that period as well, I kind of went into all different types of music, from like rock to into like alternate hip hop. So like people like Tyler the Creator and L Sweatshirt.
Yeah.
And you know, even like Frank Ocean, you know, I was a big fan. So yeah, I kinda drifted after many years into the UK, back yeah. into the UK, and grime. Grime was then my thing.
Yeah.
So from Jamie to P Money to
Did you ask to be on his album or did he
ask me, bro? He asked me. Right. He asked me and I was like, yo, what? And it's funny because he sent me the instrumental and I was like, yo, I don't think I could spit on this. I don't think I can spit. So he was like, all right, I'll give you a different type of instrumental. And he gave me the instrumental that you can hear now.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, yeah, okay, I'll do my thing.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, we did like a, I guess, you know, the Drake, Travis Scott type thing.
Yeah, yeah.
2010 had them rolling. You know that FIFA's the thing I've been owning. No cap, I killed it when gaming. Throwback, I'm beasting on newsletter like the first time I came in. I'm over the watch and I'm maining the piece. 500,000 I bought with no lease. Lambo went purple to gold. Film for one theater or try to see my value increase. Get a milli to milli for doing it all. Milli to milli for learning abroad. Milli to milli for doing it silly. Highly contagious in all of my ages. I'm moving more billy. Feeling the morning, but you knew that.
It's so funny that though, because even that decision, because a lot of people would have thought, I really respect P Money. I'm trying to make me win this music thing. If he sent me that instrumental, I've got to try and find a way to make this work.
Yeah.
But, I mean, oh, submit man. Some shit.
I just told him, like, I want it to be the best thing possible. And I know I wouldn't be able to do it
right.
on that instrumental. So I was just like, yo, give me something that's just a bit slower, which I can really spit on. And yeah, it just worked. So.
Mm.
Have you gone back to like educating yourself to earlier hip hop stuff, or have you talking about that golden era 90s
Rupert,
stuff?
You sound quite demanding. Is it you're sort of saying like he has to do that?
If
you
I'm know, being,
no, I said have you?
Oh, right. If I'm being honest, no, not really.
Well, you should.
You absolutely should. No,
yeah, no. I don't know. It's I guess like you know, it doesn't really. My audience don't really care for that.
Yeah, they don't give a shit about that.
So they won't be listening to this.
Well, no. I'd say some of my audience will be listening to this. Like, I have a huge range of audiences from, like, I'd say 7 to 32, 33.
Right.
And that's literally just because, first of all, I've been doing this for, like, 10 plus years. Secondly, you know, I have a huge range because of the boxing.
Mm.
I've gained a different audience because of that.
Are those people coming to your music as well? Have you found?
Yeah. So because I've been doing music like throughout my years and it's all, you know, slowly improving throughout the time, you know, they've just kind of grown up with me and, you know, they've just seen me get better and better and better. And now I have a fan base who just love my music as well. And that's why I'm able to like sell out a tour like next year for in the pandemic.
Yeah.
It's crazy, but it's kind of cool at the same time.
I mean, I think I sort of think about it. My audience goes from, I think, 42 to maybe 43, 45.
I'm 46. So,
thanks. Yeah, that's because I got your free ticket.
Oh, man. Hip-hop grapes.
Craig, is there anything about hip-hop you're not as keen on? Because a lot of people, we've been doing a few podcast records today. And some of the thing that people talk about is the lyricism of it and the misogyny and the violence of it and stuff like that. Is that something that ever bothered you, or is that something that you can detach the entertainment aspect of that from what you're listening to?
I think it's funny because I think it kind of goes back to what I was saying about how that rivalry, when it started off being lyrically, we'd taken it there and people did push the boundaries. I mean, it's almost like all gloves are off when you go in. When you listen to some of the, like, Hit 'Em Up and you start to hear them tunes where Tupac's Retaliation, I mean, he went deep on it.
Insane, right?
It was like, I'm going to really take this to a place where I can't expect you not to, something to come off the back of this.
Yeah.
I think for me, there's misogyny in so many different genres of music. And I think, like, from someone who's very much a purist with my songs, I've always tried to come in a way that has been as respectful as I possibly can, regardless of some of my earlier stuff when I was like, even 7 days, it was like, I was making love on a Wednesday. It wasn't like I could have flipped that as a teenager. I could have said some other things.
Yeah.
I was very mindful of, I was living at home with my mom. Do you know what I mean? So it's like,
you couldn't really.
Yeah. Super honest. Like I had to think twice about what was going on. And my dad, if I try to overstep where overstep the respect for my mom. Yeah. Oh, I'd love for my dad real quick. Right, trust right. me. You just have to call my name. You know, there's low when he calls your name once. Low, pray. Yeah, no. No, you have to just, you have to calm yourself. So I kind of was brought up in that way. But I'd say it's the, when it starts to get to killings, when it starts to get to people getting stabbed, when it, that part for me, I think you have to understand there's entertainment. And there's always going to be people who are going to do the turn up tunes. There's always people who are going to be saying certain things. There's certain words I don't use in my music. It's just me personally. But it doesn't stop me.
As in like profanity and stuff you're talking about?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think I need to go there because I feel like for every profanity, I feel there's a poetic way of saying that. It's right. almost sometimes those words are used to not go there, to yeah. not kind of think, okay, well, that was an easy rhyme word, so let me just go with that on every other line.
Mm.
I think if you can find a different way, it's just the way I approach it. And I think some people do it really well. And also I think there's sometimes a lot of stigma that kind of comes with that. But when I listen back to the 90s, 2000, man, it was all kicking off
yeah.
every way. But what I did like is the way that R&B and hip hop started to merge. What Diddy did with, or Puffy at the time, when Bad Boy, what that represented was yeah. it shifting from not just being Biggie, then you had the Lil' Kims and Junior Mafia, and you had Mace, and you had Black Rob, and I mean, it was 112, and Mary J. Blige, it was starting to move into a new thing. And I think we're in that place now, man.
Yeah.
The drill thing, watch for the drill thing where R&B mm. artists are going to start to do their thing over drill music.
Mm.
And it will take, it will bring some sweetness to some of the lyrics that are coming through,
yeah.
which I think will help the scene and balance a little.
Yeah. That's an interesting prediction. Mm. So you think you're going to see more, that's kind of where you see it going?
Yeah, because I've seen it before in other scenes. It's like
yeah.
garage was very sweet. It went underground, became grime.
Right.
Then grime sort of evolved, and then you had a moment where it got sweet for a minute. I don't want to say sweet, but it became commercialized. People knew of it, and everyone yeah. wants to put it underground. Drill. The drill sound comes through, and then now people are getting aware of it. You'll find there'll be some R&B sweet boys who kind of throw something. Drake gets this well, man. He understands that you can... If you need to go hard, I'll go hard. If I need to go bring some R&B sweet boy to this, so the scene will naturally go there, and then there'll be a new scene that'll be called something else. It'll be a derivative of drill
yeah.
that will go even darker again, and we'll be in the same cycle. You know what I mean?
Drake is an interesting one because, like you said, he's managed to cross the like step between those two things, and people seem to accept both ways, don't they? Is there a secret to how he's done that, do you think, or just because he's very good at what he does?
I think if you look back at, I remember the early mixtapes. I mean, the shout-outs he gave to myself and Shola Amma,
yeah.
Dodger on early mixtapes. So, I mean, and the amount of grind he put in on those tapes. And remember before that, the acting. So he's a very polished artist who really has done his due diligence. That when it comes to it, and he's shown homage to the UK. I mean, a lot of Canadian artists did that. I mean, if you look at The Weeknd, Justin Bieber,
yeah.
Drake. They always had the eye on what was going on in the UK. So now it's just he's found that, you know what? I can draw for the R&B because I can't actually hold a vocal. I can do the hip-hop thing, and I can spit on a drill track if you want.
Yeah.
And I think he's not just chucking it. I feel like he genuinely loves the music, and there's no way you can be the number one hip-hop artist in the world from just, I'm just trying it out and seeing how it goes.
Mm.
The guy's just too good for that, you know what I mean?
Yeah. JJ, do you, so when Rupert very rudely sort of interrogated you about getting into the history of music, Craig was talking about like Tupac and Biggie. Are those people that you've ever listened to, or Diddy?
Oh, no, obviously, I think it's kind of hard not to listen to Tupac and Diddy. And obviously, I mean, yeah, like even Biggie, Snoop, all of that.
How does it sound to you? Like, do you like all that, or do you sort of think this sounds a bit old? Feel free to be honest. We won't.
I get it. I like it. Right. I get it. But it's not something I would go, oh, snap.
Yeah.
I wasn't really like born into that. I was kind of born into another era.
Yeah.
So it kind of doesn't gas me up like it would gas you guys
That's
up.
That's two old boys.
So like.
Yeah. You don't have to say it so in such a fucking derogatory way. Wouldn't gas me up like gas you.
I don't know what he's talking about.
Oh, come on, mate.
I think there might be a battle brewing.
Yeah, I mean, this guy. Absolutely not.
For a boxing match, at least.
yeah, but I do know what you mean. Like, I think the one thing, actually, more than the lyrics, I think, Craig, you kind of alluded to, is the production. Is that
there's not enough bass.
Yeah, well, yeah, but just it's so different, you know. Like I've got, you know, people just say it doesn't. This production doesn't excite me in that way. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. It's a lot more minimal. It's, I don't know. It's a different kind of style. So I totally understand where you're coming from. It wasn't. I wasn't trying to trap you or anything.
Not
like Rupert. So what was your? So who do you listen to now? Who are your big artists?
I listen to Parcel Lou.
Yeah,
Parcel Lou, I think he's sick.
Is that that My Family chair?
Yeah, My Family. Ministry. Oh man, I love it.
Pussy, what you want from me? Pussy, I don't owe nobody. Front lines, all you see is cats calling. Do you need what you up from me? Hey, see me right there, I'm with My Family. In the middle of the streets with My Family. Big hand to death for My Family. Brick it to My Family. Right from a killy killy, no cap. Bust a bell, make it ring like that. Have you ever seen a madman giggle after? You don't roll up a brother like that. You don't smoke like that. Hey, who want what?
The video, by the way,
is hard.
Right, so that's this video. Have you seen this video?
No.
So it's like a classic video of like a crew just sort of spitting down the barrel of a camera.
Yeah.
But they put the camera on an arm. Or something. Yeah, I don't know how exactly they've done it, but they just shit. It just shifts all around.
Yeah, so it's a computer-based camera.
Oh, is that what it is?
Yeah. Okay. So it has like certain angles that it's going to be at.
It's fucking. It makes it look like something you've never seen before,
it's
man.
Incredible.
It's amazing. Incredible. Anyway, sorry.
So I listened to Tion Wayne, Abracadabra, obviously P Money, JME, Skepta, Stormzy. I'm just trying to go through my list. I mean, I listen to a huge range, especially in the UK. Like, UK music is popping right now.
Yeah.
It's popping, like, heavily. Slow Tie as well is another one I listen to.
Slow Tie is starting to get some recognition from American artists as well. Because I was listening to, I don't know if you guys know Aminé, but he just brought out this album.
Aminé.
He just brought out this album, Limbo.
Yeah, Aminé's sick.
And Slow Tie's on it.
Yeah.
And I was just like, fucking hell, I can't believe Slow Tie's on this record. Yeah. It's mad.
Yeah, so it's huge. There's a lot of big things happening in the UK. Mm. And I feel like a lot of artists can see it from like all around the world.
Yeah.
So yeah, Dutchavelli as well. Oh my God, how could I forget?
Dutchavelli, Craig, you wear a Dutchavelli.
Yeah.
His voice, I can't deal with it.
Hey, yo, Dutch over here. Yeah, what's up?
Going in, Brody, please phone Cody. A man got touch at the donut shop. I hope he recovers in a week. If not, it's peak. Your old man caught. Put that to the back of my mind right now. Black trainers, black tracksuit, black gloves. What happens on up block stays on up block. We do not ride out with a loose tongue. You are not bad. What have you done? Sis, see me get three man down in the night. She don't know I did that more than once. I hate pigs, call them cunts. Catch lines, bro, more than blunts. Trying to get rich by any means, even if it means running in drums. Yo, it's big fun.
So you feel like a rumble.
Yeah.
You feel like when you listen to him talk, it feels like it's aiding your digestion.
His work rate is unreal, man.
Yeah.
He's going ham. Like, man came out of prison and then just went, yeah, I'm going to destroy this music thing.
Yeah.
And he fully has, so.
And is there anything you don't like about hip hop or the scene or anything?
Well, I guess obviously, you know, like the actual killings, I feel like that's kind of long.
Mm.
I feel like people don't really need to die.
Yeah.
I feel like you can keep it within the entertainment and just leave it at that. But, you know, I can understand how, you know, people have beef, you know, there's gang wars and all this and that, you know, there's OFB, the Niners, et cetera, you know, going at each other. And there's even more gangs left, right, and center. And, you know, the music aids that. And then that's their way to poke fun at their opposition.
Yeah.
Being like, oh, you know, I ching this person and blah, blah, blah. So it's, you know, I understand it's part of the scene, but I don't like it. I don't like people dying. No one needs to die doing this, man. Like, we can all make money, man. There's a lot of money to be made in this music thing, so. Yeah, let's just keep it at that and, you know, make sure everyone else wins rather than killing.
Craig, Craig, what are you up to next? I mean, obviously you've got the single with JJ, but what's next for you?
Yeah, I'm just, I'm in writing mode. Been writing throughout the first like part of the main lockdown, and then depending on it, to be honest, not even what's going on in the world. I think when you're creative, you kind of, you're finding that's actually giving you time to actually to write. And the fact that I've always been very hands-on when it comes to recording vocals, just sitting down, getting my harmonies together, doing my ad-libs, getting gassed off my own ad-libs, being like, Jesus, man. I love it, man. It's like when you live that life, it's just like, because before you have to always be asking the next guy to record you and da-da-da. But now, because I know that, like I said, Pro Tools, I'm a go-to guy on that. So I just know how to do my vocals and get them sounding right. So I want to make a record that just feels that, not throwback, and but to take all the essence of the era I talked about, but for it to feel new school. Production's a thing. It's like Afrobeat. I mean, that's dancehall from the 90s. It's just, the production slightly flipped.
Oh, we've lost.
It's like the light switch, man. See, that's what happened.
You go from
dancehall, and then you flip it, and then the light goes off.
I don't know. Like, wow. I don't know why it already looked like a sex dungeon. And we've...
I think, as long as this is still recording.
Hey, yo, 2020, bro.
Maybe something's happened outside.
Maybe this is the end. Maybe we're on lockdown.
Fuck, we're stuck here forever.
For anyone who's listening, the lights have gone off just in case you're like,
lights have gone off at our end, sorry. Yeah.
The lights have gone off in there, Jesus. We're bright over here, man. We're shining the light.
I feel like I'm in the Blair Witch, man.
It's quite exciting.
Oh, man.
But do you know the mad thing with it, though, is that even though it's like, it's a bit of trial and error of trying to how to find the light. Yeah, it's mad things like this that in the moment when it seems to be going completely pear shaped, you find that, oh shit, you see that the way that the light is hitting the thing. That's the new angle we need to do this, because no podcast is doing it.
No,
like
that's
this.
True. I never see. But there's also the argument that no podcast is doing this for good reason. there's a series of arguments why they're not. I mean, this is mental.
I like it.
This is absolutely mental. And Craig, are you going? What's going on in Ibiza? Are you going back out?
So Ibiza for the moment's on hold. I mean, I hope for next year everything's back in play. I think we just all need to, one is that trying to like, I mean, I've been so feeling it in my heart just for everyone who's been involved in the cruise and everyone who are like out of pocket and everybody hasn't got work and everyone's trying to put food on the table and pay their rent and pay their bills. And there's such a big infrastructure that's going on that I just feel like we need to get that fixed up, because entertainment is the one thing that's holding this whole thing together. Like the people who showed up when the music was going when the everything locked down, all the creators, everyone was on YouTube, everyone was doing their creating music. The whole Versus thing came about out of nowhere.
Of course,
all these things that almost turn off the lights, or pun the pun, on the whole thing is like, come on, man, we need, because I hope we got an entertainment industry once this is done, because I think we think we're going to just come back and everyone's going to be, it's all firing. It's like, well, how's that work if someone hasn't been able to pay their bills for the last 6 months. So for me now, and I say it's the digress from Ibiza, but for me, it's like I want to know that people are being looked after, that the industry's in the right state, that people can enjoy it. Because if we're in this kind of not knowing where we are, no one wants to be like distanced out of pool pie. You know what I mean? You don't want to feel like, oh, I'm in a pool and I've got to be six feet away from someone who's splashing over there. There's a lot of things that we need to just be patient. Yeah. But also make sure that people are looked after in the period of time, because there won't be anything to come back to, which will
it's walking that line, isn't it? You want things to go back to normal, but you've got to do it properly.
Of course. You know what I mean? Ultimately, you don't want deaths, but you've got to realise that there's people's families on the line, and there's a lot of money that we pay as taxes that need to just be distributed correctly. You know what I mean? So,
Craig, we know you've got to go. Thank you. We're going to sort of say bye to you and get on with this orgy that we've organised here. So this is all... I think we've got the lighting exactly right. So
it's got me in the mood.
Pleasure.
Thank you so much for joining us, man. I appreciate it.
Nah, pleasure. Thank you, man. JJ, I'll see you on the flip,
I'll see you
man.
In a bit, man.
Wicked, guys. Peace.
Right, JJ, I'm so sorry about what the fuck has happened in this basement.
Bro, it's different. It's different, man.
We do this every record.
You said this is like the first for
That's
me.
That's always
like,
the cue to wrap
this
it
is
up.
So yeah, it's just about, you know, like, because obviously this is the first time we're meeting. I feel like I like know you from watching all this stuff, but
yeah,
it's so funny just thinking I'm looking forward to meeting him, and then you come in and you must be thinking, what the fuck is this setup, man?
No, like,
this
no, is... no, but I've been in
You've
way
seen worse.
Worse.
Yeah,
well, I've been everywhere. So,
so what's next for you then? So the album. When's the album going to come out then?
Hopefully around May.
Right.
April, May. Yeah, so around then, yeah.
Mm. Who
else are you going to collab with on it?
I can't say, man.
Right.
it's an improvement on... well, I don't want to say an improvement, but like, there's artists that people won't expect.
Right.
For sure in the next album. So,
okay.
It's, yeah. It's
US or UK?
US and UK.
Oh.
US and UK.
Shit.
Paul Logan.
Imagine. Paul Logan, he says.
What else you got outside of music? Or is it music you're focusing on completely?
So obviously, you know, still doing YouTube, Sidemen stuff, the group that I'm in, we're always just making content.
When do you do those things? The one video that my kids have been watching, a lot of you guys doing, is where there's a girl at one end of the room and then you guys all take turns to chat around.
So yeah, that's real life Tinder. So yeah, that's when we kind of just... Yeah. Well, obviously, it's just like a parody. We're all just like, just making fun of it all. But yeah, we'll just try to think of like stupid punchlines or stupid pickup lines to try and make the girl say yes. And a lot of times it fails. Obviously,
it's funny as fuck though.
It's really funny.
Oh, the other video. Sorry, I don't know what I'm talking about.
No, it's insane. Right.
But there was one video I saw of you watching. Somebody created a... I think it's like a UFC ring entrance or WWE ring entrance for you.
Oh my gosh,
that was so fucking funny.
Oh my god. So yeah, they just made me super camp. Super camp.
But it's so funny because you were so...
I was so excited.
Yeah, like, so you were like, okay, let's see what this... I don't know what this is. And then it was like, you were in the corner of the screen. I could just see your face gradually dropping as you
Oh, man. I mean, yeah, not that there's anything wrong with being camp, but...
No. But it was just out of character.
It doesn't really... it's not really me.
Yeah. Well, look, listen, man. Thank you so much for coming. I would say the first time I heard you spit was on that P Money album.
Okay.
And if anybody's thinking he's a YouTuber and so he might not have the skills, that's absolutely not the case. So make sure you do check out his stuff, man. It's like, you do know what you're doing. And obviously, you're completely dedicated to it. So good luck with all of it.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for joining us. We're going to figure out if...
we can get out of
if
there.
If this is like Avengers Endgame or something. Like somebody's
who's going to die first?
I know. Just open the door. It's just fucking zombies.
Fire everywhere.
What are we going to eat?
Who knows? Each other, I guess.
I think I'd win because I'd just knock one of you out.
Shit.
Rupert looks more tasty.
Yeah. There's a bit more chunk on it. Tuck in, mate. Tuck in.
Thank you so much, mate.
No, pleasure, man.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.